The NC Department of Transportation is hosting a public meeting on its proposed plan to widen Aviation Parkway from NC-54/Chapel Hill Road in Morrisville to I-40 in Cary. The purpose of this project is to reduce congestion on Aviation Parkway, improving east-to-west mobility through Morrisville to I-40 and I-540. The meeting will be held from 5 to 7 p.m. on May 12th at Morrisville Town Hall, 100 Town Hall Drive in Morrisville. For more information, visit ncdot.com and search Aviation Parkway.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's favorite gun-toting, Bible-clinging, deplorable American.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Starnes.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Far be it from me to give advice to anybody who works in the White House right now, but I would just say today, out of all days, probably not the best time to ask President Trump for a raise. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes radio program. Great to have you with us today. President Trump is in a foul mood, and that may be putting it lightly. And I think the president he's aggravated, really, is the issue. He's aggravated with Iran. He's aggravated with Israel. I think also you have to factor into all of this, he's aggravated with the neocons, and he's aggravated with the MAGA isolationist. There are just a lot of people that have been biting at the president. And as we have said on this program for the past many, many years, Donald Trump has a plan, and you need to let that plan work out. I mean, it really is that simple. Donald Trump has a plan, and every single time we go through this, where people, they turn on the president, they don't believe the president, they think he's lost his marbles, but at the end of the day, Donald Trump has always had a plan, and the plan here is to stop Iran from getting a nuclear weapon. That's it. The president accomplished that mission, and that's all the skin we have in this game. Now, if Israel and Iran want to go at it, that's their business. But our job in all of this was to take out the nuclear program, which we did. And yet that is still not good enough. And we're going to play some audio from the president a little bit later on in this hour. But there's a lot happening. And by the way, we're expecting something historic to be announced at NATO when the president meets with our European allies. So we'll get to all of that in just a matter of moments. I do right away want to go to the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to Senator Roger Marshall from Kansas. And, Senator, I just spent 3 or 4 days in your great state, and some wonderful, wonderful people out there.
Well, Todd, thanks so much. We've had plenty of rain this year. It's nice and green. But, boy, do we got a lot to talk about. And I think you nailed it in your intro here. We had the most transparent president in American history. You get to see live. It's like watching, you know, a live TV hitcom or whatever. And he is saying, this is how I feel today. Look, he is so upset with Israel, and I don't blame him. You nailed it. You said he did everything. We did everything that Israel wanted. We eliminated the bombs, the nuclear bombs in Iran. I mean, we blew them to smithereens. And they both agree to a ceasefire. But no, Israel's got to go in and just do a little bit more. To your point, it's never enough. You know, we're funding most of Israel's military right now. It's the tune $5 or $10 billion a year. Make no mistake about that. We are giving them billions of dollars of weapons. And personally, I think I said it yesterday, even before the president announced it, it's time to take a breath. Israel and Iran, Israel has eliminated any nuclear capability in Iran, I think, for decades. Can we just stop killing each other for just a little bit? Just take a breath and stop the killing.
And that's all the president's trying to do. He really is a man of peace. I know you've spent a lot of time with the president. This is not a guy that wants to go out there and start wars or get ourselves involved in wars or regime change, Senator.
Yeah, no, absolutely. The president, like myself, grew up in the Vietnam era. We lived through these desert storms, these never-ending wars, as he describes them. He's the most anti-war president we probably have ever had. He's going to be the last one to get us into a war. If you look at his history here, he's a very isolated laser shot to take things, you know, people out, to take our enemies out. He has no interest in a never-ending war. I mean, we have absolutely no interest in going into Iran with boots. I think it'd be a fool's errand. The country is so well fortressed by Mother Nature. It would be a tough battle. Listen, I feel for the Iranian people. They've had been under this horrible regime for decades. There's significant human rights violation. They killed 5,000 people in one swoop because they didn't agree with their leadership there. But that's up to the people of Iran. We've done our job. We've blown their nuclear plants back to the dark ages.
You know, on that point, Senator, and no one really thinks about it in this context, but, you know, the people of Massachusetts were oppressed, and so were the people in Rhode Island and South Carolina and Virginia and New York. And guess what? We didn't ask anybody else to fight our war for us. We took up arms against the British, and we implemented regime change, which, by the way, was the only time in American history where regime change actually worked. And I've got no problem with the Iranian people, and I'm with you. I feel bad for them. But if they want freedom, they're going to have to fight for it, just like we did.
Yeah, Todd, thank God for those founding fathers. I was had the privilege of sitting in the president's booth celebrating the 250th anniversary of the Army. 1.3 million people in our military made the ultimate sacrifice for our freedom. And that's the continued sacrifice. But the founding fathers gave up everything. You know, they funded the war. Those soldiers, many of them didn't have socks, let alone boots. And just the stories go over and over as I rekindle that. I wish the Iranian people the very, very, very best. I think that they have an opportunity. We've given them an opportunity to hopefully gain their own freedom. And that's what we wish for all of them, is there is some form of freedom and ability to worship God as they would feel, as they would like to, and freedom of speech. All these things we take for granted in this country that we should be celebrating.
Senator Roger Marshall from the great state of Kansas on our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line as we kick off today's program. And, Senator, another couple of big stories we're looking at. President Trump on his way to NATO. They're predicting something historic. Are you guys getting any intel on what that might be?
Well, I assume it's going to be the level of commitment from NATO. And I want to just, you know, thank God for President Trump. When he took over Trump 45, NATO members were averaging about 1.5% of their GDP towards their military. And they're up to 2.1%, and that doesn't sound like a lot, but it is. So he got them to move from 1.5 to 2.1% of their GDP. I think he's going to be pushing them towards 3 and 3.5. Only half of the NATO countries are compliant with the 2% number. So he's going to be pushing them. You know, he's the head cheerleader here, and I hate to get ahead of ourselves here, but we have over 100,000 troops in Europe right now. Why do we have to lead the European ground forces? NATO, in my humble opinion, has worked really well as far as a nuclear deterrence to Russia. It was set up in the late 1940s to kind of slow down that Russian progress as they were annexing countries and building the Soviet Union. So it did its job, but Europe needs to take the lead in the ground force issue in Europe. We need to take that money, that time, and those troops and probably take them to the South Seas. So I'm hoping that he's announcing that Europe's going to stand up for once and fight for themselves. We don't need 100,000 American troops in Europe.
No, I don't think we – I know I'm with you there. And honestly, with the way things are going in France and the UK right now, I'm wondering how long they're actually going to be allies the way they are embracing the Islamist, to be honest with you. Senator, real quick, because there's two other issues I do want to touch on. Of course, the other is the one big, beautiful bill. How is that going? Are you guys going to be able to get this thing done before the 4th of July?
You know, it would seem impossible right now if it weren't for Donald Trump. That, look, Congress is now on Trump time. And you talk about a person just stays laser focused on the goal here. I think it's feasible. It's always darkest before the sun comes out, it seems like, and maybe we're at that moment. But I do see a path to victory, and I'm one committed to getting the best bill we can. It's not going to be perfect. You're going to find things you don't like in it. But I went from about 80% of this bill I liking to 90% of it. So I've got 90% of what I want. Is it cutting enough spending? No, sir, it's not. But I think this is about as good a place as we can get it, considering such a small, small margin in the Senate and the House. So that's my goal. I'm going to do everything I can to put my shoulders behind this bill, support it, deliver on the president's agenda for the American people, prevent the largest tax increase in American history, and trim $2 trillion from federal spending as well.
I thought about you over the weekend, and again, we did our book tour swing through Wichita and Kansas City and multiple towns in between, and there was a lot of traffic on the interstates and a lot of these big rigs, and I think a lot of people have noticed the same thing that I noticed, is that there are the driving conditions are getting a little difficult and precarious with some of these big rig drivers, and it turns out a good many of them don't even speak English, and that's why I'm excited about this legislation that you've gotten behind, that you're pushing, that would require these drivers to at least have a rudimentary knowledge of the English language.
Yeah, Todd, this is just common sense, and common sense is in short supply in D.C., but this is a common sense bill that says if you're driving a big rig, you should be able to understand and speak English. If nothing else, just for understanding the signage, and you know, especially all the detours that are going on and road construction, those types of things. It's really helpful to understand the English language. And those huge rigs are weapons. And I'm impressed with the safety records of so many of the drivers. Speaking English would be a minimal standard, being able to understand it, taking the testing, the English. And of course, the president issued an executive order to do just this, but we need to codify that, put it in law, so in case we get another liberal president, they don't back off on it again.
Well, we've got to. I mean, it is just such common sense legislation, and we're glad you're all over this because it's getting dangerous out there on the roadways. And everybody wants to be able to get the family safely to Buc-ee's.
Yep, exactly. And Todd, I know we need to wrap up, and I just want to thank our military that did, once again, just a precision operation. Thank God for the U.S. military. And we have 50,000 soldiers over there in the Middle East still.
Yep.
And just pray for their safety as well. And their families are back here worried to death about them. So think about the families, and if you see any of those families, tell them thank you, and you got their back, and I don't know, take them a pie and say thank you. How does that sound?
Sounds good to me. Senator, I appreciate you hopping on the show today. Senator Roger Marshall from the great state of Kansas. Thanks a lot now.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. There you have a lot to unravel there, and we appreciate the senator coming on the program today. And if you've been driving and you know that a lot of these big rig drivers, it's getting really precarious, and you just have to be super careful. And one of the reasons why, and we've heard this from American truckers, that many of the guys driving don't even have licenses. Those who do can't even speak the language. Therefore, if you can't speak the language, you can't read the road signs. This is an incredibly dangerous thing, so thank goodness that Roger Marshall is introducing legislation to fix that. All right, we're going to take a quick break here, folks, and we will come back and reset. We're going to play some audio from President Trump earlier today. Also, we are monitoring primary day in New York City. And ladies and gentlemen, it is unbelievable, but the next mayor of New York could very well be a guy who is an Islamist who hasn't even been in the country 7 years. It's unbelievable what's happening in New York City. We're going to get to that story. Your calls as well, 901-260-5926. Again, 901-260-5926. This is the Todd Starnes Show. As you know, my friend Mike Lindell has a passion to help everyone get the best sleep of your life. Now, he didn't stop by simply creating the best pillow. Mike created the best bed sheets ever. They look and feel great, which means an even better night's sleep for me, which is crucial for my busy schedule. Now, Mike is offering the best deal on his Giza Dream bed sheets. Any size, any color, just $49.98. That's right. You can even get the Queens, Kings, Split Kings, and Cal Kings. Any size, any color, just $49.98. Order now, because when they're gone, they're gone. Also, for a limited time, when you order over $100 in merch, you're going to get $100 in free digital gifts. Call 1-800-839-8506. Use the promo code STARNS or go to MyPillow.com. Use the promo code STARNS for the amazing offer of $49.98 on the Giza Dream Sheets, any size, any color. That number again, 1-800-839-8506, promo code STARNS. All right. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns Radio Show. Let's go back to this morning. President Trump heading out to Marine One, and he stops and he visits with the media, talking about how displeased he is with both Iran and Israel. And again, they reached this ceasefire agreement. It was a big, beautiful, huge ceasefire agreement, and they set a timer. And then Iran and Israel commenced to shoot missiles at each other again. And Trump said, dadgummit, cut number one.
They violated, but Israel violated it too.
Are you questioning if
Israel was committed? Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they...
Ladies and gentlemen... anyway, the president went on to say that they didn't know what the blank they're doing. Unbelievable, ladies and gentlemen, just unbelievable. So I'm with the president on this. And again, Israel is after regime change. So is Mark Levin and a lot of these other folks in Congress, a lot of these senators, they're all after regime change. And we just can't have that. We just cannot have that. If the Iranian people want freedom, then they have to fight for it. That's not our fight. And as President Trump said so eloquently, and you can tell he's just really, really upset about this. And he ought to be. But beyond that, you've got these MAGA grifters out there. And they're going at it against Trump. Now you've got the regime change crowd going after Trump. There are almost three other groups involved here. And all Trump said was this: we got to take out their nuclear program. That's our only dog in this fight. That's the only dog in this fight. And so I say, good for you, Mr. President. Stick to your guns and don't worry about all the noise out there. I think the American people are standing alongside the president of this. Now, I may be mistaken. There may be some of you who think we do need to implement regime change in Iran. Well, look, if Israel wants to go to war with Iran, that's their business, not ours. We took out the most dangerous component of all of this, which is the nuclear program. As a matter of fact, there are some in the evangelical Christian world that are now upset with President Trump, because they're saying that we should stand alongside Israel unconditionally, and that if whoever Israel wants to go to war with, the United States should join Israel in that cause. So I'm just curious, ladies and gentlemen, how do you feel about that part of it? Do we have to pledge complete allegiance to Israel here? And if Israel says, let's just say, for example, Israel's got a beef with, Switzerland. So Israel wants to take out the Swiss. Do we have to stand alongside Israel when they do that? You say, well, Todd, that's ludicrous. Well, really? Because there is a large swath of the evangelical Christian community that says we must do everything Israel tells us to do because that's what the Bible says. So is there a line there? Or... does Benjamin Netanyahu become the de facto president of the United States of America? I'm just asking the question here. Because, again, going back to the original issue, Israel wanted us to go in. And by the way, Israel said, hey, look, we can handle this. We just need you guys to take out the nuclear sites with the big bombs. 901-260-5926, our number. This is the Todd Stern Show.
Hi, everyone. Tom Mustin here for the Legal Help Center. If you or someone you know were diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma within the past 20 years, listen up. You could be entitled to significant compensation. For years, the weed killer Roundup was used in homes, farms, and gardens. And now studies have proved a direct link between Roundup and this deadly cancer. So, if you or someone you know have been diagnosed with non-Hodgkin's lymphoma, call us and find out if you qualify for a cash settlement. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Time to file a claim is running out, so don't delay. The call is free, the consultation is free, and you can find out if you qualify for a monetary reward. Call 800-266-6200. That's 800-266-6200. Call now. Advertisement sponsored by Legal Help Center. May not be available in all states.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Todd Stern Show. Wow, this fight, this brouhaha, this rowdy dow between the MAGA world crowd is just really remarkable, and it's getting uglier. Marjorie Taylor Greene is going to war. And she's got a big problem with Mark Levin, who she calls a nasty neocon. And she's now calling for Fox News Channel to fire Mark Levin. Of course, Levin has been all about regime change in Iran. And Levin has been out there for a while saying that that we need to go in and we need to get rid of the Islamo-fascist and we need to install new leadership in Iran. The last time we did that, by the way, it led to the current crisis that we're in. Anyway, Marjorie Taylor Greene wrote this on X. She said, "My thoughts on bombing Iran. I don't know anyone in America who's been the victim of a crime or killed by Iran. But I know many people who have been victims of crime committed by criminal illegal aliens or murdered by cartel and Chinese fentanyl drugs. Almost everyone in our country can relate to this fact. However, America has not dropped bunker busters on the cartel's sophisticated drug tunnels, launched tomahawks on massive cartels, poisonous drug operations, or gone to war against the cartels' international terrorist networks. This is all true. Neocon warmongers beat their drums of war and act like Billy Badasses going to war in countries most Americans have never seen and can't find on a map, but never find the courage to go to war against the actual terrorists who actually do kill Americans, invade our land, and make billions doing it every day, every year after year." She goes on to say, "I'm 51 years old. I'm Gen X." I mean, it is a lengthy statement. I'm going to read through all of this. But anyway, she says that "I can easily support nuclear-armed Israel's right to defend themselves and also say at the same time I don't want to fight or fund nuclear-armed Israel's wars, nor any other country for that matter. I'm sick of funding foreign aid in foreign countries and foreign everything. I want to fund American interest and issues." Now, in response to that, Mark Levin called her a shameless nitwit. "How incredibly dumb is this Marjorie Taylor Greene? She doesn't know anyone in America who's been a victim of crime or killed by Iran. You mean the thousands of Americans, especially military personnel, killed and maimed by the Iranian terrorist regime?" It's getting ugly. But MTG does have a point here. And the point is that why aren't we doing the same sort of military excursions on those who are allowing our country to be invaded? That is a fair question. Anyway, MTG continues to go after Levin, and this is, Levin is Jewish. You need to understand that for the context. MTG says this is extremely sick and disturbing. Mark, you have the exact same tone and language that the psychopaths use that send me death threats every single day. You should be fired from Fox News, and shame on Fox if they condone this. Let me introduce you to my friend Jesus. He says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called the children of God. I'm telling you, it's getting heated. It's really getting heated. So I'm curious, ladies and gentlemen, what side of this divide do you stand on? Because there is a lot of hate and a lot of vitriol out there. A lot of it. 901-260-5926 is our number. That's 901-260-5926. Call her a shameless nitwit. That's my Mark Levin impression. And I look, I like the great one. I do. I just disagree with this idea that we've got to go in. And again, if the evangelicals, and hear me on this, this is where it's going to get squirrely really quickly. Because the evangelicals are saying that Trump should always back Israel no matter what. It doesn't even matter if it's against our interest. We must always stand with Israel. All right, let's go to Rita in Statesville, North Carolina, listening to us on WSIC. Hi, Rita. What say you?
Well, I was thinking about Israel and Marjorie Taylor Greene's comments, and I understand that aliens can be illegals. People can be a part of national security, but they don't throw bombs at us. And Iran has basically just been defanged, and that was our mission. And I think the fair-weather friends of the MAGA world or those people that voted and supported Trump should kind of rally around him and sit back and trust him if we voted him in to trust him to do the right thing. And if it doesn't and it backfires, then we vote somebody else.
Rita, how do you feel about regime change, the U.S. going in and setting up a government for another country?
I do not think so. I think that's the people of Iran. They had an uprising a few years back, during the Obama administration, and I could be wrong on that, and we didn't help them. And now that Starlink's been set up for them to communicate, it's a good time for them to act. But we've not been successful at that in any way, shape, or form. So we need to do what we need to do to support our national security and the security of Israel and let them take up their own business. And I don't believe we need to support Israel regardless of what they do. I just, you know.
Well,
I think we are supposed to support them and take care of them, but I don't believe we have to enter into boots on the ground for every little thing.
There are those, Rita, who say, and many of them will be evangelical religious leaders, and they will say that ultimately Israel is more important than the United States. Now, I disagree with that. I believe that we can be a great ally to Israel, but at the same time, we are our own nation.
Israel is an ally, and we can be an ally, but being a friend and an ally does not mean you have to agree with everything they do. And I don't believe that. I believe that the Israelites are God's first chosen people, and I believe that the remnant who believe in Jesus are the greater chosen people, and I believe we are all equal under the vine, and under we have been grafted into the root, and we are all important in God's eyes.
Well said. Rita, very good. I'm going to leave it there, and we will let you go. But I think a lot of folks out there are going to agree with your assessment. And what I appreciate about Donald Trump here is the common sense approach he is bringing to all of this. There's just a lot of chaos right now. And the Democrats are slap crazy. They actually want to impeach Donald Trump because he used he dropped the F-bomb. That they really want to do that. I mean, it's, these people are unhinged. But the problem we've got, the most pressing issue now, is this war within the Republican and MAGA circles. It's just really unbelievable. And I hope everybody just steps back and takes a breath here and comes. We've got to find some common ground. I mean, you've got Tucker and Candace and Alex Jones and MTG, Mark Levin. Everybody's going at it. Everybody. All right, let's go back to the phone lines. 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Ben in Pasadena, Texas, listening to us on Patriot Talk 920. Hi, Ben. What say you?
The name is Dan, and it's nice to speak to you.
Dan, my apologies.
Oh, that's fine. In answer to your question, should we stand with Israel no matter what? I've got a situation that I remember that occurred during the Lyndon Johnson administration. You may know about this as well, but I suspect a lot of people in this country do not know. And that was the incident. Israel was engaged in a war at the time, and Israel's military attacked the U.S. Navy ship, the USS Liberty, and killed a number of American sailors. So how many Americans would agree with attacking an American Navy ship and killing American citizens, American sailors, to be on the side of Israel?
It's a fair question, Dan. And again, the incident you're referring to, Israel said that this was a horrible case of mistaken identity. They thought the USS Liberty was actually an Egyptian ship, and it was a terrible tragedy. But to your point, again, is there a limit? I suppose is maybe the right question. Is there a limit to how far we're willing to stand alongside Israel? And my question for the evangelical community is, okay, well, let's say Israel attacks the United States. Who are we supposed to stand alongside of? I mean, God forbid that happens, but, I mean, you know what I mean, Dan?
Right. Can I make a comment about the Liberty?
Real quick, yeah.
Right. I saw a documentary about that in which American Navy sailors on board the ship said that Israel knew it was an American ship. They flew a gigantic American flag on the top of that ship and were doing everything they could to communicate their identity. And plus, Israel knew it was there in advance because when it comes to identifying Navy ships, militaries have books with pictures which identify ships of different navies. So in my mind, there's no question whatsoever that Israel's military knew it was an American Navy ship.
Well, all of this happened during the Six-Day War, so it happened during a time of war, and it was a horrible tragedy. And Dan, again, I wasn't there. I know you've seen the documentary. I've not seen that documentary. And all I can rely on are the official, the official assessment coming from our military. But again, it does raise the question, okay, well, who do you stand with in something like that? Dan, I got to run. Thank you for the call though. And it is something that you need to be thinking about, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Let's go to Patty in Statesville, North Carolina, WSIC. Patty, it's been a while. What's on your mind?
Hey, how are you, Todd? I'm so glad. I have your book, and it's wonderful.
You've got Star Spangled Blessings.
Yeah, of course I did. Todd, I have all your books.
I love it. Patty, I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I wish you could have signed it for me, but you know what? That's neither here. We'll talk about something neither here nor there. Because, I went through that chemo and everything, right, Todd?
Yes.
But it's out another bath, Todd.
I had heard the rumors, Patty.
Yeah. I'll be all right.
Okay.
God is great.
Well, you had a lot of people praying for you.
Thank you. I am sticking up for MTG. Do you know that?
So you're standing alongside MTG here.
Yes, I am.
Why is
that? I think that America first is America first, not Israel first.
Yeah, I hear you, Patty. And again, I don't even think you have to take Israel out of this, because I think ultimately Trump did what he did, not necessarily for Israel as much as he did for the United States, because they were saying death to America. You know, they want to destroy both countries. And I think we did it for us as opposed to Israel.
Did what he had to do. Now it's up to the big boys, BB, and the rest of the other nutcases. Let them fight their own war. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Let them do what they have to do. Todd, these people have been fighting since like the 13th century. I'm not kidding. You're not going to change Iran's mind. You're not going to change Israel's mind. They're both stubborn. If you heard Trump this morning, he dropped the F-bomb, okay?
Oh, we heard it. We heard it, Patty. It caught a lot of people's attention.
And you know what? And I don't blame him. He's pissed off.
He is.
Because he went in, he did something he had to do, and it's like he's going into a bunch of kids. They are going to do what they're going to do. BB is going to do what he has to do, and they're going to do what they got to do. We step out of it. We have our own problem. We take care of us first.
Patty, I'm going to leave it there. I've got to take a break. It is good hearing from you. We're praying for you. And again, I think a lot of folks are going to want to weigh in on what you just said and the way you framed it. Patty, thank you for that. But again, who do you put first, America or Israel? 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up, stick around, because I have some exciting news to share with you. We'll tell you all about it coming up next. All right, folks. Now we've got Jerry in Iowa, Charles in North Carolina on hold. Guys, hang. We're gonna try to have those guys hang over until after the top of the hour here, because I do want to give you a couple of updates and let you know what's going on. This coming Friday, I'll be heading to Washington. I'll be one of the speakers at the Faith and Freedom Coalition's Road to the Majority conference. It is going to be a pretty incredible. Some amazing speakers. Well, yours truly. But we also have others as well, and want to go through some of those, including Senator Marsha Blackburn, Senator Ted Cruz. I wonder if Tucker Carlson's going to be. No, Tucker's not going to be there. Dr. Robert Jeffress is going to be there, as well as Governor Glenn Youngkin from Virginia, and Eric Schmidt from Missouri. So a lot of great folks there, and looking forward to that. And we'll see a lot of our listeners there as well. Now, over at ToddStearns.com, we have a great little announcement. If you click on our store link at the very top of the page, you'll notice that we have a brand new offer for you. You can now get a copy of Star Spangled Blessings and a Blessed Not Bitter coffee mug. And this is one of the super-sized coffee mugs. So if you love community coffee, you're going to be able to fill it to the brim. Anyway, you're going to be able to get the book and the mug for just $27. This is going to be a special that's run up until the 4th of July. So we would encourage you to head over to ToddStearns.com, click on the store, and you will see the tab there, New Book and Mug Combos, and get yourself a copy. Now, if you've read the book, we would love to hear from you, and we want you to give us a call on the show. And we also want you to head over to Amazon and leave us a review. We are still, I think, number one or number two, the top release. This is week number two since the book came out on Amazon, and you guys are just crushing it, and I really appreciate that. So head over, and by the way, if you haven't got yourself a copy of the book, go and order one now on Amazon. It's actually the cheapest on Amazon. You're going to get a hardcover edition. You can get the Kindle version, or you can get the audio version. And by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the audio version of the book is free of charge right now on Amazon. So you might want to head over and take full advantage of that. All right. Wow, a lot going on. Folks, hang tight. We've got hour two of the big show coming up next.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's Common Sense Conservative Commentary from Todd Starnes.
That's right. I love this American ride.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Starnes Radio Show. This is hour two of the big show, and what an honor to have you with us. Welcome to all of our great listeners across this great nation. All right, I want you to write down our number. You will need this if you plan on calling in today, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. President Trump doing a little press gaggle on Air Force One. He's heading to the NATO meeting. The president reiterating again, he does not want regime change in Iran. Cut five.
Do you want to see regime change in Iran?
No. If there was, there was. But no, I don't want it. I'd like to see everything calm down as quickly as possible. Regime change takes chaos. And ideally, we don't want to see so much chaos. So we'll see how it does. You know, the Iranians are very good traders, very good business people. And they got a lot of oil. They should be fine. They should be able to rebuild and do a good job. They're never going to have nuclear. But other than that, they should do a great job.
All right, so that was the president saying no regime change. That is going to enrage a lot of neocons like Mark Levin, like Lindsey Graham, and others on Capitol Hill who believe we should be engaging in regime change. President Trump extremely unhappy this morning after both Iran and Israel violated their own ceasefire agreement. Here's that conversation, cut one.
Yeah, I do. They violated it, but Israel violated it too. Israel, as soon as we made the deal, they came out and they dropped a load of bombs, the likes of which I'd never seen before. The biggest load that we've seen. I'm not happy with Israel. You know, when I say, okay, now you have 12 hours, you don't go out in the first hour and just drop everything you have on them. So I'm not happy with them. I'm not happy with Iran either. But I'm really unhappy if Israel's going out this morning because of one rocket that didn't land, that was shot, perhaps by mistake, that didn't land. I'm not happy about that. You know what? We basically have two countries that have been fighting so long and so hard that they don't know what the f*** they're doing. Do you understand that?
Oh, I understand that. I understand it, Mr. President. I do. So, look, here's the deal. And I think this is a pretty simple explanation here. The president is not just fed up with Iran and Israel. I think he's fed up with all the bickering on Capitol Hill and in the media. You got the neocon war hawks. You've got the MAGA isolationist. Trump's not leading us into World War III. And that's what all the MAGA isolationists were saying. He's gonna cause World War III. We're going to die. We're going to die. No, that's not what he was doing. And so we're not going into World War III. We're not going to conduct regime change. And by the way, that's going to make everybody mad. Everybody's going to be upset about this. But we had one mission, take out the nuclear program. That's it. Boom, mission accomplished. So everybody needs to take a chill pill. Tone down the rhetoric, people. Good Lord, let the president do what the president is going to do. He has once again demonstrated that we can still stand alongside our allies while putting America's interest first. That's what's going on here. All right, let's get to the phones as promised. 901-260-5926. Let's say hello to Johnny, listening to us on the Mighty 990, KWAM in Memphis. Hi, Johnny. What say you?
Hello. Todd, how you doing? Long time no hear from you. Doing all right?
I'm doing well. Thank you very much for asking. Trying to stay cool. It's like 103 degrees outside.
Did you actually think that there was a ceasefire agreement? Did you actually think that, Todd?
Well, there was a ceasefire agreement.
Yeah. And your IQ is just about the size of your shoes. Now,
well, I have big shoes.
Yeah, and it's about the size of your IQ. Todd, are you going to ever admit that that Trump is a busted liar, or you just sort of ignore it?
Well, let's talk about this. It's a great question you ask, and again, being a person of exceptionally high IQ, Johnny, I want to ask you a question, and I hope this will answer yours. What exactly are you referring to? Is there a specific lie in connection to what we're talking about here that you're referencing?
What do you want me to start?
No, I just want you. I mean, you mentioned Iran and Israel and the ceasefire. Are you insinuating that there was not a ceasefire agreement?
You know there never was. I don't know why these radio personalities, journalists, and everybody call him out for what he is. He is a liar. He said that he's going to stop the war within 24 hours of getting in office. He said that he broke a peace in the Middle East his first term. And now he's saying, you know, that cussing, like the old man, you know, and when Biden cussed, you had him fit. You know, you did. You just called him out. Now Trump is cussing like the old man. Get off of my lawn, you. But anyway, that whole Trump regime is nothing but a mess.
Now, wait a second. Johnny, you got the Iranian government leader saying they agreed to the ceasefire. You have Israel saying they agreed to the ceasefire. And when Trump called them out, both of them out, and then told Israel, you better turn your planes around, guess what happened, Johnny? Israel turned the planes around. So, I mean, are you saying that Iran is lying and that Israel's lying and that Donald Trump is lying?
No. Israel and Iran never agreed to a ceasefire.
Well, they said they did. Johnny, are you calling them liars?
Oh, I'm calling Trump a liar.
Trump hasn't lied about anything, Johnny.
Trump lied about everything. No, not about anything, about everything. You never heard BB, which BB is a smart, intelligent guy. He got more brains than Trump would ever have. He's an MIT graduate, a Harvard graduate, you know, and he just
Donald Trump went to the University of Pennsylvania, great Ivy League school. Got a weird swim team, but
just like you, Donald Trump went to the University of Liars. That's the university he went to, and he graduated with honors, just like you,
Johnny. I got a question for you. What's your suit? What's your shoe size, Johnny? What size shoe do you wear?
I wear 170. That's my IQ. I wear 170
inches. Oh, you sound like a little foot man to me. A little foot man, Johnny. All right, look, we're gonna let you go, Johnny. Here's the deal. I want you to come back though when you're armed with the facts. I mean, you've got to. If you're saying that Trump is a liar, he's lying about the ceasefire, Johnny. You got to bring us the intel. You got to bring us the goods. Come on, 901-260-5926. Let's go to Charles in North Carolina. Hey, Charles, what's going on?
Todd, I think Johnny has a bad case of TDS. But anyhow, as far as Israel and Iran go and the debate going on in MAGA world, by and large, Todd, I find myself aligned with MTG and Steve Bannon and the like. I support Israel, but just because you support Israel does not mean you have to go over there and fight all their battles for them. I think what President Trump did as far as taking out the nuclear site is correct. However, I do not support regime change in Iran. I'm old enough to remember, you know, in 1953, the CIA took out the president of Iran, replaced him with the Shah. That's what gave us the Ayatollahs. And ever since then, in every part of the world, the United States has a horrible track record of regime change. Iraq, Afghanistan, I mean, we've been involved with perpetual wars for perpetual peace. If Israel wants to go over there and do a regime change, like Steve Bannon says, baby, have at it. Take your army, send it across the desert, and invade Iran. But there's not going to be American boots on the ground. In my opinion, America has... There's no such thing as a permanent ally or enemy. America only has permanent interest. And while I believe that those who bless Israel will be blessed, that doesn't mean that in all cases Israel is right or correct. I think we should support them when it's in our interest. But right now, in my opinion, our interest is turning our military and drones loose on the drug cartels in Mexico and decimating and destroying them with our commandos as well, because we're being invaded, we're being occupied, and it's got to be America first.
Let me say this, Charles, and I mean, you've run down a list of important things, and I am greatly concerned that the administration is really, and this is going to irritate some folks. The administration thus far has only been playing lip service to the illegal immigration crisis, and I say that because you're going to have to be deporting up to 10,000 people a day to reach the levels that Bill Clinton and Barack Obama were deporting people. And we're nowhere near those numbers. We're at about 3,000 or 4,000 people a day, if that. So we're not doing enough to deport, and that is problematic. But also, to your point, I would much rather see those military resources being used to blow up the tunnels and all the other things that the cartels are using to funnel drugs and everything else across our border. So until we get that under control, then we're not going to be able to fix what's broken in this country.
No, we're not. And, you know, and while we're at it, we're running $2 trillion annual deficits. We're broke. Our currency's on the verge of collapsing. But when I listened to President Trump on Saturday night, you know, announced to the nation about the bombing, you know, of the nuclear sites, Todd, I couldn't help but think, I just wish that tomorrow night at 9 o'clock, he would deliver a nationally televised address outlining the case for getting some type of designation national emergency to go after the drug cartels and go in there and bomb them. Again, commandos go in there. You wipe out their infrastructure. We know where they are. And you start the process of deporting, 20,000 a day, like you're talking about. But we've got, that's our biggest threat. It's not Iran. It's not anything overseas. Our biggest threat, in my opinion, Todd, is right there on the southern border and the 15 million people that came in illegally under Joe Biden's watch that are just going to destroy the culture of this nation.
Yeah. All right, Charles, we're going to leave it there. Good call. Thank you for listening. Again, our number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. So we will, we're going to have to take a quick break here, folks. So when we come back a little bit later on, by the way, we're going to be talking to our good friend Josh Jones. He's going to weigh in on today's primary election in New York City. Also, we'll get his take on the latest political fallout between Israel and Iran. By the way, don't forget, 5 o'clock tonight, the Todd Stern Show on Newsmax TV. Man, our numbers are off the charts, and we certainly appreciate you guys watching the show. You know, Newsmax went public on the New York Stock Exchange, and millions of people are now joining our news revolution. Newsmax is the fourth highest rated news channel, just behind CNN. We're talking about 40 million Americans now go to Newsmax for shows like Greta Van Susteren, Rob Finnerty, Rob Schmidt. By the way, I will be on Rob's show tonight, 7 o'clock Eastern, so be sure to tune in to that conversation. KT McFarland and I will be on a panel together. So download our free Newsmax app on your smartphone or TV and start watching right now. President Trump, also a big fan of Newsmax. You can also download the free Newsmax app and also check out Newsmax shares on the New York Stock Exchange. For that information, go to NewsmaxInvest.com. That's NewsmaxInvest.com. All right. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the Todd Starnes Radio Show. Let's go right back to the phones here. Jerry in Iowa. Jerry, what is on your mind today?
Brother Todd, thank you for free speech. Average people get a call up. It's really cool. My love and loyalties are really Adonai and Jesus first, then conservatism, then MAGA, then Trump, in that order. I also love you, Todd, and I also love Israel. I'm going to say no, absolutely no boots on the ground. However, regime change really did work pretty well with Hitler and Tojo. Once again, no boots on the ground. I'm just thinking, give Israel all the munitions they want. If they ask for a shipment, double it and give them a tip. And if they want to surgically strike, that's fine. And everywhere they want, let them have at it. But, you know, once again, no boots on the ground. We just did a precision strike for a lot of important sites, ballistic missiles and atomic facilities. Hopefully we avoided the radiation treatment. But now maybe it is time to do a little chemo. And there are a lot of Christians in Iran. Now, the flip side of it is, because I kind of am for regime change without, well, I am, without boots on the ground. But maybe the Donald, whom I love still, I'm disagreeing with him on a few things. I think you're right about the immigration rate of things, that maybe he sees an organic regime change on the way anyway. And I like it that he wants to get back to peace and do business. But regime change did work with Hitler and Tojo.
Well, it did, but again, we were fighting world wars or a world war at that time. And I think again, when you look at the aftermath of World War II, for example, what happened with Germany and dividing Germany up into East and West Germany, that did not work out very well. That got rectified, remedied decades later. But yeah, I see your point. The issue though is when you're just going into a country, and it doesn't even have to be boots on the ground. When you're going into a country and you're telling that country, okay, we're going to install new leadership, I just don't think that works. And it did not work in Iran. The reality is, we played this audio from Bill Maher's show, and the reality is, as they said on Bill Maher's show, that the reason why regime change, especially in the Middle East, won't work, especially with Islamic-run countries, is that their religion dictates that we are to be slaughtered. We are the infidel. So this is as hard as it is for people to understand, Jerry, I think the big problem is we're fighting a religious war here, whether we like it or not.
Absolutely. Yeah, it is a religious war, and it'll probably snap back to some nasty witch's brew. Regime change doesn't seem to work very well in the Mideast because of their nasty religion. Yes, I did just say that. But I'm okay with doing it this time as long as there's no boots on the ground. Just mess them up a little more. Maybe the Christians will take over. So I don't feel great animosity toward the MAGA movement. I'm still very happy with it. But I'm tending to be with Mark Levin on this, and just no boots on the ground. So I really appreciate you letting me disagree with you, because you know I love you.
Jerry, look, I appreciate it. And look, yeah, we're not always going to agree on things. But, you know, we mucked it up the last time we did regime change in Iran, and I don't see us doing it any better this go around. Jerry, thank you for calling in. 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. All right. Just a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, we are in the throes of promoting our brand new book. It's called Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. I would encourage you to go out and get yourself a copy. We are on the bestsellers list for new Christian devotionals, which is pretty exciting. We're happy about that. But we want you to buy a lot of copies of this book. It's a terrific little gift book as well. Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. It's available at your favorite bookstore. Got to take a break, folks. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This is the Todd Stearns radio program. Great to have you with us. Want to go right away to our Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line and say hello to our good friend, great political strategist, Josh Jones. Josh, you heard the president's rather candid remarks coming out of the White House today. It's very unusual that we get that sort of frank talk from politicians.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Todd. Even, you know, from President Trump, who's a more candid president, I think the American people appreciate that. It's not something we get to see very often.
Josh, I'm curious, when you look at the controversy, the divide between the MAGA world, do you see this having any sort of an impact in the looming midterm elections?
I think it's too early to tell, frankly. what we do know is that President Trump has always been clear on preventing a nuclear Iran, and that's always been part of his America First agenda, both during the first Trump administration, then during his campaign last year, and then now the second Trump administration. So in a lot of ways, this is him delivering on his promises on the campaign trail. Like you said, there's been some rifts within on the Republican side of things about the best approach here, but President Trump's been pretty consistent, and I think the majority of the party is behind him, and I think come the midterms, assuming this peace holds and, Iran is, no longer has a nuclear capability or potential, that Republicans will be able to use that as a talking point.
You know, it's the thing that does concern me is that we're going to, I think some of these folks are at such extreme points within our own side of the party now. It really makes you wonder what's going on here. And you can't help but see there is a strain of anti-Semitism in some of this rhetoric.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely correct. And it's a sad reality that exists in our political landscape at all. This is, simply put, a national security issue, and it should be nothing more. Those that are, have other motives or attributing motives, whatever they may be, are absolutely wrong and, taking advantage of the situation. This is about national security, ensuring that the future of Israel and also the future of the United States and our other allies.
Mm. Josh, when you look at what's happening, politically, we're getting these races that that are popping up here and there. We had the New Jersey gubernatorial race where the Trump endorsed candidate won hands down. You even had unions supporting the Republican candidate there. And then, of course, today, primary day in New York City. And it's interesting because Andrew Cuomo is now trailing in the polls to a Muslim socialist who's only been a citizen of America for about seven years or so.
Yeah, no, this is a consequential day for the Democratic Party. There's no coding that. I mean, you have Andrew Cuomo, who's more of a centrist, traditional blue dog type Democrat. And then you have this self-described Democratic socialist who is, making this race very competitive for Cuomo. And we'll see later tonight, probably a late night because New York has ranked choice voting. So we'll see how that plays out. But this is a real bellwether for the Democratic Party. This is their first opportunity in a lot of ways to set the course for their party after their defeat in 2024. And whether they want to run to the left even more or kind of come to their senses, hopefully, and, come back to like mainstream political, American beliefs across the board.
I mean, what do you do, though, if you're a Republican? Because your guy is Curtis Sliwa, who's the, the talk radio host and the founder of the Guardian Angels back in the day, a non-viable candidate. I mean, the guy just can't, he's run before. And clearly the Republicans didn't put a lot of thought into their side of the aisle and their guy. So what do you do if you're a Republican? Do you risk having a Muslim socialist become your mayor?
Right. I mean, it's a tough situation. The unfortunate reality is, though, in New York, even if some Republicans were to kind of hold their nose and potentially vote for Cuomo, I don't think there's enough Republicans there, unfortunately, to make that difference, which is a sad reality. But we'll see what happens, because like you said, whoever wins this primary, they're going to be the next mayor of New York. So this is a very consequential day. So if there are Republicans who are considering that, I mean, it's not the worst idea, but, I'm not going to be the one to advise anybody to get involved.
I was in Kansas and spent some time with Republicans out there. And I was pretty encouraged to see the excitement and the enthusiasm. I know you've been traveling around quite a bit. Are you sensing that enthusiasm? Is it still there? And are we still seeing our numbers growing out there?
I think so, Todd. I mean, and particularly, like I said before, with the nuclear Iran situation or the One Big Beautiful Bill, the Trump administration and his allies in Congress are delivering on their agenda that they campaigned on in 2024. And I think those who back Trump in 2024 still support that agenda, and there's enthusiasm across the board for that. We'll have a couple of elections later this November. We have the Virginia governor's race and the New Jersey governor's race, both traditionally blue states. But we'll see how Republicans perform, and I think that'd be a good bellwether heading into the midterms and also give us an opportunity to course correct if that's needed.
I thought it was interesting, Josh, when you look at the, at the younger, I guess the Gen Zers of the Republican Party, they seem to be more hawkish when it comes to war than, say, a Tucker Carlson or a Candace Owens. Are you surprised by that?
Not necessarily. I will say, you know, like every segment of the Republican Party is obviously divided among the Gen Z portion as well. But I think if you look back over the course of Iraq and Afghanistan, and then now with the Israel-Iran situation, I think there's a healthy median here that a lot of folks are coming to, which is regime change historically hasn't worked. And that's an objective fact. But what we're dealing with here isn't a regime change situation. At least ideally, that's not what it turns into. This is about national security and being willing to take that step when needed. Go back to Reagan. This is peace through strength, and that's what this looks like in practice.
Josh Jones on the Patriot Mobile Newsmaker line today. He is a great Republican and political strategist. Josh, when you look at Congress right now, they're still wrangling over the big, beautiful bill. It may take a miracle to get this thing through. What happens and how risky is it if the Republicans aren't able to get this done for the president?
Look, I mean, it runs a big risk. This is the president's first major piece of legislation of his second administration, and is really the flagship of the policies he campaigned on in 2024. Now, the reality is, you know, this bill, there's some compromises because there's different opinions within the Republican Party, and that's a good thing. So my message to Republicans on the Hill is, look, you're not going to get everything you want out of this bill, but it's better than the alternative of not passing it. And so both senators and those in the House, if it ends up going back to the House, need to work together to get this done.
All right. Good stuff. Well, Josh, look, I know you're a busy guy. We certainly appreciate you taking a few minutes for us today.
Yeah, always a pleasure, Todd. Appreciate it.
All right. Josh Jones, ladies and gentlemen, and you can follow Josh on his social media accounts and always has great information for us. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. Let's go to Memphis, Tennessee. Drew, listening to us on KWAM. Hi, Drew. What's on your mind?
Hey, Mr. Strons. Hey. I guess to reiterate some things I've already heard. Yeah, at this point, I think really Israel, Iran, I mean, it's almost as if I think we need to start treating it like we treated, are still treating Ukraine and Russia. Let's just let them duke it out, so to speak. If we want to financially support, I suppose that's fine. Give them supplies, I suppose that's fine. But boots on the ground, I think the vast majority of Americans at this point are against that. And then the other little aspect here is what y'all were just touching on with New York City, with the election they have upcoming. It's a grave thing to think about when you consider what just happened 25 years ago in New York City, where you have Islamic extremists with a terrorist attack, and 25 years later, here we have a socialist Muslim who very well could be the next mayor of New York City. I just can't fathom how we can let that happen. So we need to take we can't take too long, obviously. We need to take a quick, hard look at what has happened in the UK for the last several years. They have entire towns, entire municipalities that have been overrun. That is not an exaggeration. They have been overrun with Islamists. They have governments running, the small towns over there that are running, they're ran by Muslims. So, it's come on, people. We can't, if New York City gets a Muslim socialist, quote-unquote socialist mayor, as he labels himself as, I don't understand. We already have Ilhan Omar spouting out things all the time. White people are dangerous. We need to be watching the white people. This isn't a dream. This is reality. This is actually happening right before our ears and eyes each and every day. So I hope the people in New York City can wake up. I don't care if they're a Democrat, if they're Republican, Independent. I'm sorry, but we cannot elect someone like that. I mean, it's just, no, we can't let that happen.
Well, what's interesting here, and you've got the latest polling from Emerson College, and you've got Zohran Mamdani, who is the Muslim socialist, and an immigrant. He's only been in the country for about 7 years. He's from Uganda. He is leading Andrew Cuomo by a little over 3.5 percentage points. That's not to say that Cuomo could not get a surge during the primary. And by the way, the polls close at 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. But the issue with Cuomo, again, the guy killed a lot of senior citizens with his COVID policies, and he's been unfaithful. We'll just leave it at that with his sexcapades. But that may very well be the saving grace, because I don't see any path to victory, you know, in the general election for the Republicans here. So the question now becomes, okay, would you rather have Andrew Cuomo or would you rather have the Muslim socialist leading New York City?
Yeah, it's kind of, I guess you could say it's pick your poison, but there seems to be a trend. We're going down a dark path with letting a lot of, well, that's actually the other aspect. I don't know. You know, we know we can kind of statistically somewhat pinpoint how many Hispanics are here legally versus illegally. I'd like to know how many Muslims are here legally versus illegally.
Well, that's a good question.
That's kind of an interesting, I don't know what that looks like, you know.
True, we'll try to hunt down that info for you. But that is, you know, I mean, that is a fair question. And again, when you look at what happened in London with their mayor, I think you're going to see a mass exodus of people out of the city, at least on the business side of things. And I think you'll be seeing a lot of businesses moving due south to Florida. So we'll pay attention to that. But what a fascinating day in New York City. Drew, got to run, man. Thank you for calling in. Thank you for listening. 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Let me ask you about your cell phone service, ladies and gentlemen. Are you happy with your cell phone service? Are you happy that some of the profits that your cell phone company is using are actually being used to fund far-left organizations and causes? Well, if that makes you unhappy, then I want you to consider checking out my friends at Patriot Mobile. Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian and conservative wireless company. And, man, they have some incredible nationwide coverage, the very best 4G and 5G networks, and they have a coverage guarantee. I want you to go check them out. PatriotMobile.com/Todd. That's PatriotMobile.com/Todd. Give them a call, 972-PATRIOT. That's 972-PATRIOT. They have a plan to fit any budget. $25 for the freedom of speech plan all the way up to their ultimate plan, just $75 a month. Use my promo code Todd and you're going to get free activation. Again, that number, 972-PATRIOT, patriotmobile.com/Todd. All right. Remember summer camp? You know, a lot of kids go into summer camp and off for a week or two in the woods and the wilderness and learning about all sorts of things. And I, you know, Vacation Bible School is happening all over the country right now. It's happening at, especially here in the Mid-South. But anyway, if you're taking, and a lot of times these colleges, they offer these summer classes that kids can take. I don't know who would do that. I mean, why would you go to school during the summertime? That makes no sense to me. But anyway, some kids do that and we don't judge. But anyway, if you got a kid taking summer classes at Smith College, that's in Massachusetts, you just might want to take a glance at some of the reading material. So Smith College is offering a summer program for teenagers called Women, Gender, and Representation. Sounds like a barn burner there. By the way, the cost of the class is $5,000. Why would you spend $5,000? Why not just use that money and take your family down to Disney World or something, or Dollywood? Anyway, the program includes six classes. This is coming from Campus Reform. The program includes six classes that teach kids about transgender lives, black feminism, and queer love stories. Oh, geez, Lou. Of particular note is a class that instructs students that gender is a social construct, and they use that class to show how that impacts women's athletics. So what I think is going on here at Smith College is that they're using this class to brainwash these kids into believing that there really are no differences between men and women, that it's all some sort of a social idea. And therefore, there's no problem with having a boy playing on a girl's team. If I'm reading into this, That's what I think is going on here at Smith College. Anyway, I know many of you are clamoring to know about the queer love stories. Well, it turns out your youngsters, if they're attending the $5,000 summer program at Smith College, will read all about love from many different gender identities, ranging from asexual to pansexual. And again, we have done the research. This has nothing to do with cast iron skillets, spatulas, or Dutch ovens. This is something else. Pansexuality. I got to tell you, you throw in what happened in Memphis over the weekend with the gay dog festival where they had the gay and the lesbian dogs. And that, what do they call it? Pride pooches. There's some weird stuff going down, ladies and gentlemen, just some weird stuff. I don't know about you, but I kind of miss the days. Remember those days when the kids, you spend your summertime, you know, riding your bicycles and swimming in the creeks and catching lightning bugs? Remember when that used to be summertime in America? And now your kid's learning how to be a pansexual lover. Jeez, Alou. All right, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. Coming up in the next hour, we're going to bring you up to speed on what's going down in New York City. Voters heading the polls today, and they're picking their Democrat nominee for the mayor's race. And it's shocking. You know, this Muslim socialist actually wants to create government-owned grocery stores in New York City. So you'll be able to buy your bread and cheese directly from the government. I mean, this is communism. And it is shocking. But again, this guy, and clearly the Republicans probably should have seen this coming. And it seems to me, and I know this goes against, you know, the Republican Party. I get that. But it seems to me, if your Republican candidate doesn't have a shot, you got to do whatever you can to save the city from the Muslim socialist. I'm just saying that. But that's just me. All right, folks, hang tight. Got to take a quick break. Hour three of the big show coming up. This is the Todd Stearns Program.
From the Liberty University Studio in Memphis, Tennessee, it's America's conservative blowtorch.
That's us. That's right. I love this American ride.
Todd Stearns.
Oh, yeah.
Well, hello, everybody. Welcome to the Todd Stearns radio program. Great to have you with us today. Hour three of the big show. Our telephone number is 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. President Trump on his way to the NATO summit, pushing for world peace. The Democrats, meanwhile, are calling for impeachment. They're very upset that the president used salty language today, dropping an F-bomb on the White House lawn when referring to Israel and Iran violating their own ceasefire. By the way, we're getting word that the airport in Tel Aviv has once again reopened, which is a terrific sign. And that means that the peace may, in fact, be holding. So that's good news. But anyway, President Trump on his way to NATO, and we're expecting some sort of history-making announcement. We don't know what that announcement is. But when we find out, we will certainly let you know here on the program. All right, let's go to the phone lines today. A lot of folks wanting to weigh in and talk. Let's say hello to Robert in North Carolina, WHKP, our terrific affiliate out there. Hi, Robert. What's going on?
How are you today, Todd?
I'm well. Thank you for asking.
Is it hot there in Memphis?
What's going on, Robert? Let's get to it. We've got a lot going on here.
Okay, all I've got to say about this is I think Donald Trump did the right thing by bombing the nuclear sites in Iran, and I think he's doing right by getting the peace talks between the two countries. I don't see anything he's really done wrong the whole term he's been in there. I don't understand people in general, Todd, but I wear my MAGA hat everywhere and not around here, and people don't say anything to me about having my hat on or my gun on my side. And I just can't figure out these people who can't love Trump the way we love Trump. So that's all I want to say.
Yeah.
And you take care, Todd. God bless.
All right, Robert, God bless you, and thank you for that. Yeah, look, I'm with you. I wear my MAGA hat around Memphis, and we're a predominantly blue city. I don't see anybody, complaining about that or pointing at me. I do have people coming up and telling me, hey, I like your hat. And I say, well, thank you very much. That's normally happens at the grocery store. Hey, I want to play some audio for you. This is from Congressman Tim Burchett. You may be shocked to know this, ladies and gentlemen. How long have we, we're almost in the month of July, 7 months, almost 7 months since Inauguration Day. And they're just now getting around to defunding the Taliban. Did you know, ladies and gentlemen, that you, the American taxpayers, are actually funding the Taliban? Cut 13.
Hey, everybody. Tim Burchett just left the House floor. Defund the Taliban. Just passed unanimous. Thank you all so much, everybody all across the country. Y'all been just incredibly supportive of this thing. It's been over a year-long journey. Now we got to get it over to the Senate. That I know my own state, Senator Hagerty, I know Senator Blackburn support it, and Senator Sheehy will be carrying it, I think, along with Tommy Tuberville. So you can address your concerns to the Senate, and let's get this thing passed. $40 million a week, over $5 billion now we think has gone to the Taliban. That's your tax dollars. That's just ridiculous, and it's crazy you got to pass a law to do it, but thank y'all so much. I can't thank you enough. Thank y'all for sending me here.
Well, you're welcome, Congressman Burchett. Look, this is true. We have been sending them pallets of money, $10 million apparently a week that we've been sending. My apologies, $40 million weekly shipments being sent to the Taliban-controlled central bank. And I'm just curious, why is it taking so long to defund something like this? I mean, this, to me, it seems like this would be a no-brainer. But again, we certainly appreciate Congressman Burchett and his fine work here. This is just remarkable. Just remarkable what's going on here. All right. Again, 901-260-5926, our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. We're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back.
You know, Todd, one hand washes the other. You know, Iran warned the U.S. that they were going to bomb those barracks over there. I'm wondering if we gave them heads up that we were going to bomb their nuclear sites. And if you look at their aerial pictures, you could see a line of trucks in a row. I wonder if they moved all that stuff out of there before we bombed all that. That's something to think about. Because why were all those trucks parked there? Were they dropping something off? And you're talking 15, 20, 25 trucks.
Well, it's a good question. Thank you. That's Mark from the Villages in Florida. And Mark leaving us a message on our app. If you download the app, go to ToddStearns.com. You can actually leave us a shout out. So you can record a message. If you don't have a lot of time to wait on hold, you can leave us a message and we'll play those back. Look, yes, it's possible. I mean, if I was Iran, I would have already moved all of that stuff because I would have just assumed that the hammer was coming at midnight, and it did. So if that's true, Mark, we will find it, and I have no doubt about it, and we will destroy whatever, you know, wherever it might be. There's an interesting story in the New York Times. The headline, Less Burnout, More Babies, How Conservatives Are Winning Young Women. And the New York Times dispatched a reporter, Emma Goldberg, to Dallas, Texas, to cover a Turning Point USA event specifically for women. And I find this interesting They start out the story with a quote from Dana Lesh, former spokeswoman for the National Rifle Association, and she has a national talk radio program, and she said this: "I'll tell you this, ladies, you cannot have it all at the same time. Something will suffer." Is that true, ladies? The audience of roughly 3,000 young women listened. They wore pins that read, "Dump your socialist boyfriend," "and my favorite season is the fall of feminism." In ruffled sundresses and cowboy boots, they shimmied to the church clap. What is that? I'm not familiar with the church clap. When Ms. Lesh stepped off the stage and came out, Trump world rock stars Charlie and Erica Kirk, the young women, came up to the microphone one by one to ask for advice on finding a husband, on raising Christian children, on what to tell friends who judge them for wanting to marry young. You know, I have noticed a lot of people are getting married very young. Mr. Kirk, that would be Charlie Kirk, said, "I must have missed it in the book of Matthew, which is go forth and become CEO of a shoe company." It was one of the largest young conservative women's events in the country, hosted by Turning Point. Mr. Kirk, the organization Mr. Kirk leads, that claimed a critical role in turning out young voters for President Trump. It was called the Young Women's Leadership Summit. The conference was described as part sorority house, part church, and part suburban Tupperware party, with a heavy dose of Unleash the Power Within. Many attendees raised in conservative homes. Others represented a new political constituency molded politically by Trump's rise and rocked emotionally by the pandemic. You know, I know several folks in the Memphis area who went to that and just had a tremendous time. But I'm curious, because the ideas coming out of this are that you can't be, ladies, you can't be running a company and also running your family. You've got to choose one or the other. Is that true, ladies? I'm just curious about this, because there is a conversation being had about what conservative women, you know, what they're supposed to do. Are they supposed to get a college education? Are they supposed to, you know, start companies? Or should they consider just staying home and raising their children? Maybe that is the ultimate responsibility of these young Gen Zers. They say the political revolution is not just starting at home, but it's staying at home. Quote, people say, "Charlie, what does success look like for the political MAGA movement?" And Mr. Kirk said his answer is, success for MAGA would be if mom stayed home. He said, we should bring back the celebration of the Mrs. degree. How many of you every single day is your purpose for being finding a husband? That was a question that was asked of the ladies. His wife, Erica Kirk, a former Miss Arizona winner, half softened the message. She said, for the women who are getting married after 30, that's okay. By the way, Charlie was kind of bothered. He was dismayed, according to the New York Times telling. He was dismayed when not everybody raised their hands. And then he said, every hand should go up. And then his wife says, well, for the women who are getting married after 30, that's okay. It's not ideal. It's not probably the best statistical position for you, but God is good. So Charlie Kirk believes that, ladies, every day your purpose should be finding a husband. That's your purpose in life, finding a husband. Dylan, I'm not even going to ask you about that. You're a newlywed.
I'm not even qualified to answer.
No, you're not. That's the best answer for that. Charlie Kirk responded to his wife, well, if you just want happy talk, that's fine. Wow. My goodness. I think Charlie may have been sleeping on the couch that night. But it is curious. I'm not saying it's an extreme position. I think ideally there was a time in America, if you were talking about ideal family values, I think there was a time when the husband would go to work and the wife would stay at home and tend the home fires, as they say. That was a long time ago. Not too terribly long, but a long time ago. So anyway, I'm kind of curious to hear your thoughts on this. Ladies and gentlemen, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. And it seems to me, I mean, if, you know, if your calling is to go out there, ladies, and start a company or start a business, I mean, that's what you do. Oh, boy. All right. We'll see how that plays out. I want to go back and play some audio for you. This is, well, if I have the right audio list, my apologies here. I'll find it in just a moment. Going back to New York City, though, and we've got the mayor's race, and it is really going to be fascinating because I think it will determine the future direction of New York City. And I think you could have, especially Wall Street, some of the bigger stock funds, I think you're going to see a lot of folks doing a mass exodus out of New York City if the Muslim socialist wins. Yeah, it's not going to be good, but apparently good turnout today in the mayor's race. Here is the Muslim socialist talking about grocery stores, cut number 12.
Grocery prices are out of control. The cost of eggs and milk has skyrocketed. Some stores are even using dynamic pricing, jacking up the cost over the course of a day, depending on what they can get away with. It doesn't need to be this way. I'm Zahran Mamdani, and as mayor, I will create a network of city-owned grocery stores. It's like a public option for produce. We will redirect city funds from corporate supermarkets to city-owned grocery stores whose mission is lower prices, not price gouging. These stores will operate without a profit motive or having to pay property taxes or rent, and will pass on those savings to you.
So where do you stop? I mean, if you're gonna start, say, government-owned grocery stores, I would say drug stores be next, convenience stores? Where do you draw the line? If you are a socialist and you want full control of everything, you know, the other question I would have is what about Sharia? What level of Sharia law would you, of Sharia, which is law, how much Sharia would you impose on the Big Apple? I mean, if you're going to go down that path, I mean, if you're going to go full blown communist and embrace government run, government owned supermarkets, what does that say about all the private, and again, this goes back to the NPR PBS story. What does that say about the privately owned grocery stores in New York City? Can you imagine being, say, John Castamatidis, who is a grocery store magnate? He also owns WABC, great radio station in New York City. Could you imagine what he's going through right now in his mind, where now the government is going into competition against him in his own business world? It's just unbelievable. But that's where they're going with all of this. And they have enough migrants in New York City where he could actually pull this off. And I think that's why a lot of people are very nervous right now, because the only saving grace, believe it or not, is Andrew Cuomo. And that's not good. Oh, by the way, we have another Jasmine Crockett update for you. Shucking and jiving. Ow! Shucking and jiving. Good God. Every time I come around. Jasmine Crockett's very upset. She says that only she has the ability to decide whether or not we get to nuke Iran. Jasmine is also very upset she has not received her top secret briefing yet. Cut number 18.
But I wanted to jump on because obviously it's been bombs, missiles, all kinds of stuff. And to be clear, I've still not gotten any type of briefing. So just so y'all know, nobody's tried to call us in for a top secret briefing at all as whole sitting members of Congress, but you know, whatever. So I wanted to make sure that y'all knew that. So unfortunately, my information is not any more advanced than the information that you're getting, whether you're watching TV or if you're on social media.
So she's very upset because she feels like she, you know, here's the thing. They could have brought her in. They said, "Hey, Jasmine, we want to talk to you. You got to keep this on the QT, the down low." the hush-hush. And I guarantee you, before she even left the meeting, she would have been like texting somebody the information. Keep in mind that the reason why this attack on Iran was so brilliant is nobody knew it was coming, not even the Iranians, not even the Democrats, well, except for Democrat leadership, at least the ones who bothered to pick up the phone. You know, Hakeem Jeffries is out there saying, well, nobody called me. Well, that's because you didn't answer your phone. My question to Hakeem is, what exactly were you doing? What were you up to that you didn't have your super secret government phone handy? I mean, Chuckie Schumer had his, and I got to give Chuck credit. He did not leak. But I guarantee you, if Jasmine Crockett or Rashida Tlaib or Ilhan Omar, if they had been in that room, I guarantee you everybody on the planet would have known about it. That's how these Democrats operate. I'm just telling you. All right, got to take a break here. 901-260-5926. Just a reminder, head over to toddstearns.com. We have a great, and this is a very limited time offer, now until the 4th of July, a book and mug special at the Todd Stearns store, toddstearns.com. Check that out. And also be sure to get yourself a copy of my brand new book, Star Spangled Blessings. We'll be right back, everybody. All right, so Air Force One just landed in the Netherlands for the big NATO summit. The door opens up on the airplane, and there is President Trump, and he whips out a USA hat, and he puts the USA hat on his head and then begins walking down the stairs. I'm telling you, Trump is on fire today, and I hope our NATO friends understand what's about to hit them. It's going to be great. It's going to be delicious, ladies and gentlemen. Can't wait. All right, welcome back to the Todd Stearns radio program. Our telephone number, 901-260-5926. That's 901-260-5926. Good on you, Mr. President. Good on you, sir. By the way, there is some video circulating, and no need for you to hear it because it's not all that long. But the Muslim socialist mayoral candidate, Zohran Mamdani, said in an interview that if he were mayor, he would have Benjamin Netanyahu arrested if he came to New York City. Just a little something to think about there. All right, let's go to Dave in North Carolina, Camp Lejeune. Hi, Dave. What's going on?
Hey, Todd. Two things real quick. One, if Trump has done an impeachable thing by a limited strike and members of Congress don't know whether or not that's congressionally allowed. Congress is so dysfunctional, they shouldn't talk about anything until they tear a couple pages and look it up. But if Trump's impeachable over a limited strike, then how in the world can a mayor candidate say that he's going to take over a city and put in privately owned or government owned stores? And nobody's saying anything. Nobody's saying you can't do that. Of the people, by the people, for the people. That's, you know, we've gotten so far away from representative government. It's all about the politician that's running his cookie cruncher at the time. And the second thing is, Crockett, you know, she hasn't received a top secret briefing yet. Does she have a top secret clearance? Those take a long time to get. I got a final top secret that took about 10 years. So if she's got an interim top secret, what's her level of access? You see what I'm saying? We got people in Congress don't even know how their job works. You know, like when AOC showed up, or when she got elected first and said, well, I can't move to D.C., I can't afford it. Didn't even know that would be taken, you know, that people would pave that road. Now she's making $174,000 a year, but she's good for $30 million, did I hear the other day? I mean, if, you know, they can't do their job, but they can all get rich. And they don't even know the guidelines and parameters for doing their job.
Yeah, I mean, it's true, and you're right about that, Dave. And I have still, I mean, we all know how they're getting rich, but it's really offensive to me that you have all these folks going to Washington, D.C. They don't have two nickels to rub together, and they all come back home multimillionaires.
Well, you know, here in the 3rd District of North Carolina, we got a congressman. I certainly do not have a representative in him, but, and I've mentioned this a few, but this guy, he's got his little personal project, his waterworks or whatever, and right on the website says, not open to the public. But I can't get a straight answer on whether or not that's being funded by tax dollars. I mean, what the hell's going on? You know, and when I asked him directly, I said, I can't get a staffer to tell me. He says, oh, no, you'll never get one of my staffers.
Whoops, I think we, all right. Dave, I think we've got a bad phone connection there, but I think we got the gist of that. So thank you for calling on. I want to go back and play this full video because Trump also ripped CNN and MSDNC a new one earlier this morning when he called out both of them for disrespecting the pilots, the B-2 pilots. You know, CNN and MSNBC have been out there saying, well, there's no proof that the pilots actually delivered the payload, as if they somehow screwed up and missed what they were aiming at. Cut number six, please.
The B-2 pilots did their job. They did it better than anybody could even imagine. They hit late in the evening. It was dark with no moon, and they hit that target with every one of those things, and that place is gone. But when I see CNN all night long, they're trying to say, well, maybe it wasn't really as demolished as we thought. It was demolished, and you take a look at the pinpricks, and you see that place is gone. And I will say, I think CNN ought to apologize to the pilots of the B-2s. I think that MSDNC ought to apologize. I think these guys really, these networks and these cable networks are real losers. You really are. You're real losers. You're gutless losers. I say that to CNN because I watch it. I have no choice. I got to watch that garbage. It's all garbage. It's all fake news. But I think CNN is a gutless group of people. And the people that run it, nobody even knows it's been sold so many times. But the people that run it ought to be ashamed.
All right. Well, there you go. That was President Trump going off on the media earlier today. Just unbelievable that both of these news organizations would do that. But they just really, really despise our military. And it's really sad that had happened. But good for you, Mr. President, for calling them out. All right. By the way, Homeland Security, I'm really loving this idea. Homeland Security has approved a plan from the state of Florida. And they're trying to figure out where to put these illegals until we can send them back to their home countries. And they figured out, because a lot of these illegals are escaping, right? And so we don't want them to escape. And so anyway, Florida came up with a plan, and I love this plan. God love Ron DeSantis. So Governor DeSantis came up with a plan to put the ICE detention facility in the swamp, surrounded by alligators in the Everglades. I love this idea. Cut number 16.
This 30-square-mile area is completely surrounded by the Everglades. Presents a efficient, low-cost opportunity to build a temporary detention facility because you don't need to invest that much in the perimeter. People get out, there's not much waiting for them other than alligators and pythons. Nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. Within just 30 to 60 days after we begin construction, it could be up and running and could house as many as 1,000 criminal aliens. This presents a great opportunity for the state of Florida to work with Miami-Dade and Collier counties. Alligator Alcatraz, we're ready to go.
Wow, I love that. And, you know, if you escape, well, guess what? Your supper. It's a brilliant thing. Well done. Well done, Homeland Security. Well done, Florida. Well done, Governor Ron DeSantis. There is a crazy story on Fox News. And I am fascinated by this story. There is a teenager with an unnamed condition. The teenager cannot eat any food. And doctors can't figure it out. This is a weird story. The kid's name is Finley Ransom. He is 14 years old. And he has a very rare condition where he can't have fat in his stomach. The boy says, it's impacting my life. I've not been able to eat any food or drink other than water. The ailment is so rare, doctors say they haven't found anyone else with the same ailment in the nation or in the world. The boy's digestive system cannot tolerate lipids. Those are the fatty compounds or oils that are found in foods. Yours truly, ladies and gentlemen, I have an abundance of those. The little boy is from England. When he was 4 years old, he was taken to a London hospital where a central line fed nutrients and minerals directly into his heart. They say that turned out to be a game changer. The little boy was happy and bouncing, and he actually started putting on weight. And he now receives lipid infusions through a tube which enters his chest and goes directly to the central vein in his heart. This is bizarre. They say he gets carbohydrates, proteins, vitamins, and minerals 3 times a day into his stomach via this tube. For the past 5 years, it's been twice a week. You can't tell by looking at the kid that he's not, you know, he's not able to eat. The doctor, a pediatrician who's been treating the boy since birth, said we had to bypass the gastrointestinal tract completely. Doctors tried introducing separate ingredients from the tube into the boy's stomach, but as soon as they put the lipid in, they took 10 steps back. They say it doesn't even have a name. The condition is so rare, it doesn't have a name, although Finley has decided to call it Finleyitis. Well, that's clever. I mean, look, if you've got a disease nobody else has, you may as well, you know, take ownership. His condition, I'm reading from Fox News here, his condition has baffled medical professionals who believe he may be one of the only people whose body reacts to lipids in this way. One allergist and immunologist in Edison, New Jersey, said that's the unfortunate thing that we bump up against in medicine with rare diseases. My goodness. What a story. So, well, hopefully they'll be able to figure out a cure for that one of these days. But until then, you know, the kid's looking good, hanging in there. All right, 901-260-5926 is our telephone number. That's 901-260-5926. By the way, do not forget, ladies and gentlemen, get a copy of Star Spangled Blessings, Devotions for Patriots. Really want you to read this book. It is blessing so many people. I've heard from so many folks who have read the book and have been encouraged, and they have been inspired, and that's exactly what we wanted to have happen. Got to remind you folks about our friends at Old Glory Bank. You know, the banking industry, they're going through some stuff right now. Woke as the day is long. They've been canceling a lot of conservatives, both personal accounts and business accounts. And that's why I want to tell you about Old Glory Bank. When you support Old Glory Bank, you're supporting a financial institution that believes in the values that made America great. I'm talking about free speech, the right to bear arms, good old-fashioned American grit. I know you work hard for your money. We all do. And you want to be able to trust that your bank has your back and won't cave to the cancel culture or political agendas. And that's why my good friend Dr. Ben Carson and John Rich and Larry Elder started Old Glory Bank. So if you're tired of banks that won't stand up for your values, I want to encourage you to switch to Old Glory Bank. Head over right now to oldglorybank.com/darns. That's oldglorybank.com/darns, and make that change today. Again, oldglorybank.com/darns. Let's get right back to the phone lines. Patricia, listening to us in Midtown Memphis on KWAM. Hi, Patricia. What's on your mind today?
Hey, Todd. Well, we were trying to think of a name for the ailment that the little boy in England has. And I was thinking maybe we could call it Jack Spratitis.
Jack Spratitis.
Yeah.
Now, that's
you
an
know,
interesting
Jack Sprat could eat no fat.
Wow. That's old school. You're going old school, Patricia.
Jack. Well,
love that. Jack Sprat could eat no fat. That's the old nursery, as an English nursery rhyme, too.
That's right, yeah. And his wife could eat no lean, so they both sat together and licked the platter clean.
Well, I'm going to tell you this right now, Patricia. There's no way Jack Sprat or the missus could ever live in Memphis, Tennessee with as many barbecue joints as we have.
Oh, I know. They would suffer miserably. The wonderful smells.
Or even the Piccadilly.
Partake of.
You know what I'm going to do, Patricia? We've got some of our team. The next time they come back into town, I'm taking them to the Piccadilly. Do you remember the Piccadilly?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, they've never been. They've never been to a cafeteria-style restaurant like that. So I thought, well, we're going to have to introduce them to the Piccadilly.
Definitely, yeah. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of like a Southern tradition, I suppose.
It's yeah, they have a special every day. One meat and three sides. Ooh. and a bread. You can either have a roll or a
cornbread.
Corn muffin,
yeah.
Uh-huh.
Patricia, sounds like you know your way around the Piccadilly.
Well, I haven't been well lately, and a girlfriend of mine came by with a meal from the Piccadilly last week that included those things. And so,
well, that was very kind.
I've just been had a refresher course. You could say.
Well, Patricia, I hope you get to feel better and get back on your feet soon. And thank you for the Jack Sprat reference. I forgot all about that nursery rhyme.
Well, that's okay.
All right.
That's why I called in.
Well, I'm glad you did. I'm glad you did, Patricia. Thank you for doing that. And thank you for listening to KWAM. We love all of our great listeners in the Memphis area. Dylan, could you imagine having that sort of an ailment where you couldn't eat food?
Yeah, probably wouldn't be able to do it.
No. I mean,
just being honest.
I hope the kid gets better, but I'm like, just go ahead and end it now for me. Sorry.
I love chicken tenders and fries too much.
Right? Well, that's and ketchup. Are you still doing the ketchup?
No, I've branched out. Since I've gotten married, branched out.
Really? Because that used to be the full food group for you.
It literally was. And I brought ketchup, and you know this, to the family events every holiday.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I watched as we were at Cheddar's. Remember, we went to Cheddar's once, and they ran out of ketchup. They were bringing bottles.
Yeah. Almost told them to take the food back.
We were getting refills on tea, and you were
getting... Bring the whole barrel.
By the way, I've got to give a shout-out to Oklahoma. I forget where I was in Oklahoma. But I've been trying to cut back, and I'm doing the Calitrin, and I'm hitting the trails and all that kind of stuff. And I've lost like 12 pounds. You can't tell just yet. But I'm working on it. So I've been ordering. I switched to the unsweet tea. And so I'm in Oklahoma. And, I was in Kansas, Kansas City. And I order unsweet tea. And the lady looks at me, first of all, like I'm crazy. And then she says, sir, we don't have unsweet tea. We only have sweet tea. In Kansas City. I'm like, wow, I love that. So I had some sweet tea.
I was going to ask if you caved or you.
Yeah, I got some sweet tea.
I have water. No, you did.
No, she looked at, I thought she was going to ask her, what are you, a liberal or something? You woke? You got the diabetes?
I'm glad you chose sweet tea because it's the superior. You know.
Man, it was actually very good sweet tea. I'm just going to tell you. And there's a. We'll have a conversation. We're going to do an entire segment on the best sweet tea in America because I have some thoughts about this. And I had some great tea over in Kansas City, so good people. All right, folks, it has been a lot of fun today. Thank you for hanging out with us. Don't forget, we're going to be broadcasting the show Friday from Washington, D.C. I'll be speaking at the Road to the Majority Conference on Saturday. Then Sunday, I'll be speaking at the First Baptist Church in Dallas, Texas. It's going to be a lot of fun. So there's going to be a lot of moving parts a little later on this week. 5 o'clock Eastern tonight, Newsmax, watch the show. We're going to have a jam-packed program as we break down the big New York City mayor's race. All right, folks, don't forget ToddStarnes.com. Take advantage of that great offer on the Todd Starnes store. Go check out the book and mug sale. You're going to love that. stay cool out there, too, if you're in America. It's hotter than blue blazes out there. You be good, America.